Ways to be here this morning. We have Dr. Jim Britell and his wife Janet from Little Rock, Arkansas, and Leanne, their daughter, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. Jim was the pastor of Bible Doctrine Church in Little Rock for a lot of years, with 30 years. He's now hosting a youth camp. It's an Arkansas winter youth camp that I have applications for. If you have children or know of anyone that might be interested, just let me know and I'll give you the lowdown on that. But if you want to get the real lowdown, you need to talk to Shelby Rich, because she's been to that camp and she can tell you all about it. We also have Lisa Smith with us from where? Central Texas? Midland, Texas. So we're glad to have you all with us this morning. Let's prepare ourselves this morning in our usual fashion to study God's Word. We take a few moments of silent prayer, which gives us the opportunity to take anything that might be distracting and set it aside, and also gives us the chance to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here, again to take advantage of the magnificent grace that you offer us. The things that you have provided are so astounding, and yet unfortunately most believers go in ignorance, not having true appreciation for who and what you are, and for what you have done for us in the past, and what you will do for us in the future, and what you do for us now. We pray that you will help us this very morning to concentrate fully, to drink your word in full measure. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We ended last Sunday on something that we're going to expand on a bit today. It actually branched off from page 49 of your printed notes, point number 14, true love for God always manifests itself in gratitude. Now some of you are probably wondering, well, why doesn't he hand out the printed notes? Well, you'll see why in a moment. We're just going on a trek to show you how we got to where we were last week and why we're not going to continue this morning on page 50. We're going to expand on something, but first of all, we've got to see where we were. So, true love for God always manifests itself in gratitude. And one of the scriptures that we went to in order to see this was Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, we found something about being qualified for an inheritance. And that got us off on an issue that I think needs more attention. In those few scriptures, we saw that in order to be qualified to have this particular inheritance, there are a couple of things that those verses mentioned. We have two present participles that are in the passive voice, and two present participles that are in the active voice. Now, what that means is, as a believer, you receive two things from God. You receive an increase in knowledge, and you also receive strength and power. Those are in the passive voice. These are things that God will provide for you. No charge. This is part of His grace. Here they are right here. Increasing knowledge and strengthening power, passive participles. Now, when those two things occur, then it prepares you to act. And so we have two present active participles. You have then the ability to bear fruit and to give thanks. Now, this is old ground we've already gone over. But I want you to understand that these are the things that God does for us. And the result of these two things is the fact that then we become qualified for an inheritance. And that inheritance is something that we're going to continue to look at this morning. You will remember that I took you last Sunday to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and through 11, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. And what we were looking at there is a disconcerting statement. There are certain people that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And there's a list of sins there. And what's disconcerting is, as you look at this list of sins, surely you can identify with some of them. Have you ever lost your temper? Have you ever gotten angry? Have you ever coveted? Have you ever lied? Have you ever done these type of things? Well, these are some of the sins on this list. And at the end of this scripture, it says that these will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, these sins are in the present tense. Doesn't mean if you lie one time or if you covet or get angry one time that that's going to disqualify you. Well, some people would say, well, what if you lie 3 times, 10 times, 100 times? How many times does it take to do one of the sins on the list before you are disqualified from going to heaven? Ah, and there lies the rub. It's not talking about going to heaven. It's talking about inheriting heaven, which is altogether different. And so, I have some more handouts for you this morning. And I don't know, Terry, how we're going to put this in our system. We're all organized and we have our outline and this type of thing. But sometimes God, the Holy Spirit, gets my attention. He says, essentially, He guides me to teach this. And I think that's more important than adhering to our outline. So, Danny, if you will, well, you're going to need some help to pass these out. The overlay that you're about to get is entitled Inhabiting versus Inheriting. Inhabiting versus Inheriting. I want you to get a good grip on what this inheritance is all about, because it can be a major motivating factor in your spiritual life. Inhabiting versus inheriting. If you look at the top of the page and read with me, the choices you make in the remaining time you have on this earth will determine if you will merely inhabit or whether you will inherit the kingdom of God. There's an enormous difference between inhabiting and inheriting. Here's an illustration. The rights and privileges of a person who resides in a high-rise apartment building are vastly inferior to those of the one who owns it. Wouldn't you all agree to that? I mean, if you own the building and they have certain hours that the gym may be closed, or they may have a deli in there or something, certain hours, if you own it, then you can pretty well go anytime you want to go. You have a tremendous amount of potential and opportunities to do things that the average renter in a high-rise apartment doesn't have. So that gives you just a brief look at the difference between inhabiting a place and actually inheriting it or owning it. The Bible speaks of two different types of inheritance for believers. One is non-meritorious and one is meritorious. One requires no diligence on your part, and the other one does. So let's look into these two different types of inheritances so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Because when you see the word inheritance in the Bible, it's going to be one of these two. It doesn't always mean the thing that a lot of people, in fact, most believers may think it means. So let's look at the inheritance number one. A, the requirement. What is required to receive the inheritance number one? It's faith alone in Christ alone. That's it. Over and out. Nothing added to faith. Thursday night, I continued where I left off on Tuesday night on the gospel gimmicks, the things that are added to faith for salvation. And they are shameful. They are false gospels. But when you hear an accurate presentation of the gospel, the Holy Spirit makes that clear to you. And in that point in time, when you simply believe it, you hear that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and that God the Father accepts only His sacrifice, that He died as a substitute for you. And when you are trusting in that work, in Jesus Christ alone, in that moment you are born again. You become a royal family member of God, and you automatically qualify for this inheritance. Faith alone in Christ alone. B, it includes eternal life and a guarantee that you will inhabit heaven. Here's some of the scriptures. Matthew 25:34, Galatians 3:18-29, Galatians 4:6-7, Ephesians 1:13-14, Titus 3:7, and Hebrews 1:14. Now, I'm not going to read all of these scriptures for you, but one reason that I list those, one reason that I even read them so that people that will be on the internet or on tape hears them, is for them to look them up. And they will substantiate the fact that if you have faith alone in Christ alone, you will be this inheritor of, first of all, eternal life. If you have eternal life and God's own righteousness, which is a result of faith in Christ, then you're qualified to live with God in heaven forever. And it is a done deal. One thing that I just have a hard time abiding are Christians who have no confidence in where they're going to spend eternity. You know what I'm talking about. You talk to believers and you might not know they're believers. You're going to give someone the gospel and you say, faith alone in Christ alone, believe in Jesus Christ. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Hope. And they don't mean hope in the way that the Greek word elpis means it. It's more of a wish, hoping that maybe they'll be good enough to get into heaven. And that's pathetic. The only reason you're good enough as a believer is because you have God's imputed righteousness. And that's what qualifies you, that eternal life, once you have believed in Christ. Point number C. It is based on being a child of God. Galatians 4:6-7. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. An heir means to inherit something. So you have this first inheritance, meaning, what does the first inheritance mean? It means you will inhabit heaven. You will go to heaven, no doubt about it. Point D. It is positional in nature, based on positional sanctification. We are in Christ. The moment you believe in Christ, there's over 40 things that occur in that instant, things that you do not feel, things you never know about unless you grow up spiritually, unless someone exegetes the Word of God and accurately teaches you these things. And so, one of the things that you find out is about positional sanctification. That means that we are identified permanently with Jesus Christ. And the mechanic of that, the spiritual mechanic, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are identified with Christ, and nothing can shake that identification. So, it's positional in nature. E, it cannot be canceled, lost, or forfeited. God's not going to cancel it. You can't lose it or forfeit that inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, what is that telling you? It is telling you that you already have this inheritance, that you are kept by what? The power of God. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, there's no straining on your part. There's no effort on your part with regards to this first inheritance. You will inhabit heaven. This is really very close to, or really pertains to, what we call the doctrine of eternal security. Your eternal destiny is secure. Not because of who and what you are, what you think, what you do, what you say. None of that is of any consequence. It's secure because of God. He is immutable. He never changes. He has perfect veracity. He cannot lie. And He has promised to those who have faith alone in Christ alone this inheritance, which essentially means to inhabit heaven. Now let's look at the second one. This is the second inheritance. Inheritance number two. What is the requirement for this? Well, faithfulness, obedience, diligence, works, spiritual growth. Remember up at the top I said one of these is meritorious and one is not. There is no merit in faith in Jesus Christ. It's non-meritorious. So the first one you don't have to work for. You don't have to do anything other than receive God's gift of salvation. And boom, you're in. You have that inheritance. You can be completely assured that you will inhabit heaven. And you will inhabit the more than just heaven, the entire galaxy, the entire universe. Under this, we see Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Now, this is good to remember when you're working for a company that doesn't realize that you are just about the greatest thing that ever came along. When you're working for a boss that really doesn't appreciate your talents. When you're just in any case, whatever you do, whatever you put your hand to, you should do it to the best of your ability, because you are doing things as unto the Lord. The Lord is always there with you. He's always watching, knowing. And we are not to be slovenly, slothful. We are to be very diligent in whatever we take on. But with regards to this, we have an inheritance as a reward. So the inheritance is linked to rewards. If you have this second inheritance, you have rewards. Some believers think that, well, I believed in Christ, I have eternal security. I'll just sit on the front porch and rock and drink lemonade. And I won't make the lemonade. I'll wait for somebody to bring it. God's going to bring someone along to bring me lemonade. And that's all that's ever required of me. Those type of believers will inhabit heaven. They surely will not inherit it, as we see. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 36. So do not throw away your confidence. Confidence refers here to a personal sense of destiny. Remember us studying that recently? If you have a personal sense of destiny, it's not just knowing what is going to occur in the future. Some people go to a crystal ball, fortune tellers. We go to God's Word. And we can know it has perfect accuracy. We can depend on it. And we know what is in the future from the Word of God. Not only do we know the different dispensations and all about eschatology, that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about a personal sense of destiny. It means you have read yourself into the picture. You realize that this inheritance, this second type of inheritance, is for those who grow up spiritually and learn what God has for us to do. And when we do it, what is the result? And so when we are in suffering and trials and testings, this personal sense of destiny helps us look right through the fog, right through the storm, and we keep our eye on the prize. That's a personal sense of destiny, and it's confidence. It's linked with confidence. If you don't have confidence in that, then it's not going to have any power with regards to motivating you. But this does. So, this is the writer of Hebrews warning us, don't throw away your confidence. Our confidence sometimes kind of is stronger at times and weaker at others. But he says, when it gets weak, don't throw it away. Why? Well, he goes on to say, it will be richly rewarded, that confidence. That confidence that motivates you to keep on keeping on. Keep on the path. Keep applying doctrine. Keep taking it in. Where will it be rewarded? Well, that JSC is the judgment seat of Christ. If you don't think you can remember that, write it in. I'm just trying to save space here. I try to save paper a lot of times. It gets me in trouble. Y'all know that. It's all confused with numbers, and I'm trying to save a few pages. So that personal sense of destiny is not to be thrown away because it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. Persevere in what? Well, one of the things is in learning doctrine. If you don't persevere in learning doctrine, then you will become weak. That confidence factor will wane, and before you know it, you're on a frantic search for happiness apart from God and His Word. Let's read this again, then we'll turn the page. So do not throw away your confidence, your personal sense of destiny, for it will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. You need to persevere in learning doctrine so that when you have done the will of God, what is God's will? First of all, that you grow up spiritually. If you don't grow up spiritually before you get out and start doing great things for God and hustling, bustling around, a person that hasn't grown up spiritually, a believer, all he does is muddy up the waters. Because he's got a lot of zeal but no knowledge. It is your priesthood that must come first, and then your ambassadorship. So, what is the will of God? First of all, that you grow up spiritually. And as you grow up spiritually, you will acquire the right motivation. You will acquire the knowledge to do the right thing in a right way with the right motivation. You will receive, then, that means, as a purpose or as a result clause, you will receive what has been promised. Well, what has been promised? Blessings in time and inheriting rights and privileges in heaven. That's what He promises for those who are diligent. 2 Timothy 2:15, spoudazo. Remember that? Be diligent. That links right in with this. Be diligent. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Approved for what? Approved to go into heaven? No, you already have that. You already have inheritance, number one. Approved for the rewards and decorations and privileges and honors. He wants to give us the most. B on page number two. Regeneration is based on faith alone, but discipleship is based on works. Works is a nasty word to some believers. This works issue is major. If you cannot rightly divide the difference between human good, which is unacceptable to God, which we do in our own power, and divine good, which we do through the filling of the Holy Spirit, then you'll never understand what it means to grow in grace. Grace and knowledge. Grace comes first. So that first inheritance is based on regeneration, and that comes by faith. But the second inheritance is based on discipleship or service. You could put service there. faithfulness, all those are synonyms that would work there. It's based on works. It's work based on something that you do. C, it includes authority, rewards, decorations, special rights, privileges, and opportunities promised to those who will inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 8:17, Colossians 3:22-24, and Hebrews 6:11-12. That's just some of the ones. Remember recently, we're still, by the way, in the series, Your Spiritual Life, Dead Are Dynamic. And remember when we were looking at, in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, all the rewards, the decorations, the order of the morning star, the crowns, the different crowns, and the fact that we have the opportunity to be permanent members of the Paradise Club in heaven, to eat of the tree of life, to have our history recorded in the annals of heaven, and on, so many things that are offered for believers who understand that that's all part of the inheritance that God wants for every one of us. Point number D. This second type of inheritance is experiential in nature. It's based on our experiences or what we do. So, what you experience here on planet Earth makes a big difference as to what your experience in eternity is going to be. So, it's based on experience. The first was positional. Think of it this way. The positional is in the aorist tense, or it's in a point in time. Positionally, boom, you're in Christ. It's just like when you were born physically. However long it takes to be born, you get that first breath, bam, you're plugged in. Now you're born. Well, that's positionally. It happens one time, and it's a done deal. After that, everything is experiential. You experience things. And so that's what this the second type of inheritance is based on. Point number E. And here comes the warning. Get ready for it. It can be lost, canceled, or forfeited. Unlike the first one, this one can be lost. We'll see some scriptures here. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 through 17. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God. And I wrote it in there for you. That's inheritance number one. It's based on being born again, regeneration. And then we have, and co-heirs with Christ. Now that co-heirs with Christ is referring to inheritance number two. That's the one that is dependent upon your attitude towards God and His Word, whether you're going to be diligent or not in your spiritual life. So now, if we are children, and by the way, that's a first class conditional clause, if and we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, inheritance number one. Co-heirs with Christ, inheritance number two. Now look at this. If indeed we share in His sufferings. Now that's a third class conditional clause. Maybe we will and maybe we will not. So there's a condition to that inheritance number two. There is no condition. It's already met when you believe in Jesus Christ for inheritance number one. But number two, here you have a condition for it right here. So if indeed we share in His sufferings, which we call undeserved sufferings, testing, in order that we may also share in His glory. God is so gracious that He shares His glory. Everyone will have a taste. Everyone who inhabits heaven is going to have a taste of God's glory. But He wants to do much more. He's going to share His authority with these believers who are qualified for this second inheritance. He's going to share His glory, maximum glory, to those who are qualified for this second type of inheritance. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. For if we died with Him, and that again is a first class conditional clause, and we did die. That's positionally we died. That is talking about retroactive positional truth. Now, that's a theological term. And if you haven't been taught this particular doctrine, then it's not going to mean a lot to you. But you died with Christ when He died on the cross in a positional fashion. You weren't there. But something occurred, which means it affects you in a sense to where you did die with Christ. You see, as an unbeliever, you were completely and totally enslaved to your old sin nature. It had complete control over you. You can only produce human good and sin. But because as a believer you're identified with Christ and you positionally died with Him, it means that that control, that absolute power of the old sin nature over you died. It no longer has complete sway over you. You now have a say. And whenever you confess your sins, your old sin nature has to get in the back seat. He's not driving anymore. And He stays there until you decide that you just want to disobey and sin, then He gets back in the driver's seat. You all know about that. So, we did die with Christ, and if we did that, which we did, we shall also live with Him. That's referring to inheritance number one. It doesn't only say that we will live, that we have eternal life, but we will live with Him. Jesus Christ is no longer physically on planet Earth. He left to go prepare a place for us. And since this is a first-class conditional clause, we did die with Him, it means we also shall live, what? With Him. Wherever Christ is, that's where believers are going to be with regards to inheritance number one. If we endure, this is referring to rewards or inheritance number two. I left that apart here. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. There you go. And that is referring to inheritance number two. This scripture is hard for some people because they don't understand how secure their eternal destiny is. It's kept by the power of God. And so, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 through 13, I'm plugging in these inheritances so that you can understand them better with regards to the overall scope of what God has for us. We died with Christ, so we'll live with Him. Inheritance number one. Now, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Did I skip that part? Okay. I can't blame it on my glasses. If we endure, what does that mean, endure? If we endure what? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to remember we live in the devil's world. He's the ruler of the world. That means as a believer, you go around with a target painted on you. And you will have to endure suffering. A lot of people, it's strange to me, a lot of people think that they can get through life with a minimum amount of suffering, and that's what's most important to them. What they don't recognize is everybody suffers. Everybody. The question is why are you suffering? Is it because of your own bad decisions? Is it because you have sinned and you haven't confessed it and God is trying to get your attention? Or is it because you are a believer, you're learning and applying doctrine, and that is being tested? And that's what you need to endure. Remember in the other scripture it said to persevere, endure? So this is referring to the inheritance number two. So if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Reigning with Him is one of the rewards. That's one of the results of your effort. Now this says, the following sentence, if we deny Him, He will also deny us. Now I've had people ask me before, you're saying that no matter what you do, once you believe in Jesus Christ, that you're saved. That's right. That's all it takes. And you've probably heard it. I hope you've heard it. If you've witnessed to many people, you've heard it. Well, what if you murdered somebody? Well, what if you did? Christ paid for that sin. It's just another sin. Yeah, but what if you deny Christ? What if you say you no longer believe in Jesus Christ? What if you go join a... Oh, let's just say you become a Buddhist And you go out, I don't know what Buddhists do. They sit around and chant or hum or get in some kind of pretzel position. Oh, that's a Hindu, maybe. Whatever it is, you deny Jesus Christ. Then for sure you'd lose your salvation, right? No. It means that you're going to be denied. But denied what? Access into heaven? Means you won't inhabit heaven? Absolutely not. You have to take all the scriptures that bear on that. We've already demonstrated that that is secure. So this is saying that you are going to reign with Christ, but if you deny Him, He will also deny us. It's talking about rewards. You will not get this second inheritance. If you get the second inheritance, it means you will be rewarded. You will be decorated. You will have at least one crown. You will have all those rights and privileges. I like to call them inheriting rights. If you deny Jesus Christ, and that doesn't only mean that you have to go and tell someone, look, I used to be a Christian, I used to be a believer, but I'm not anymore. Now I'm a Hindu, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Muslim, I'm whatever else out there is. That's not only what it means. It also means denying God by the way you live. Not only by what you do, by what you don't do also. If you are a believer and you're living like an unbeliever, if there is no fruit, if there is no evidence that Christ is alive in you, then in a sense you're denying Christ. So if that's the case, then you're going to be denied rewards, which is inheritance number two. Now he continues, if we are faithless, and by the way, all of these ifs here are third class conditions. Maybe we will and maybe we won't. But if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. What does that mean? It means that we still will receive inheritance number one. We still will inhabit heaven. In other words, you're still saved. Now, some people just can't abide this. They think, well, if I really believe that, that means that I could go out there and raise hell. I could be a real hellion. And nothing would stop me because I know that I'm going to be in heaven no matter what. Well, it's true that they will. You can go out and do. You can do anything you want to do. You understand that. If you want to do it bad enough, you can do it, whether it's good or bad. But what they leave out of the equation is that God is a diligent parent, a diligent father with regards to discipline. And it won't be long if you go out there and think, well, I'll just go out there and satisfy all my lusts. God is going to get your attention and you will go to the divine woodshed. If you've ever been there before, you don't want to go back. So there you have it. Let's go through this one more time. 2 Timothy 2:11-13. Now, the only reason this is hard for some people to understand, but when you put it in context, it's easy, and it does bear upon these inheritances. For if we died with Him, and we did, we shall also live with Him. That's inheritance number one. If we endure undeserved suffering and so forth, testing, we shall also reign with Him. That's a promise. That's one of the rewards, inheritance number two. But if, and this is always referring to believers here. This is written to believers. If we as believers deny Him, then He's also going to deny us. And it's understood that it's referring to rewards, inheritance number two. And if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Regardless of what we do, we still have inheritance number one. But God wants a lot more for us than just to inhabit heaven. He wants us to inherit it. He wants us to receive these inheriting rights, these escrow blessings that He's had held up for us until we have the capacity. He wants to release them in time and then really flood us with them for all eternity. And that's what this is about. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. We have come to share in Christ, that is, to share His authority and glory. Now look at that. That's capital if, and that's underlined. If I could put it in red and put a neon sign around it, I would. So here's a condition here. We have come to share in Christ, meaning to share His authority and glory, if we hold firmly till the end of what? Till the end of our lives, the confidence we had at first. Remember that confidence that we had before? We were talking about a personal sense of destiny. as you grow spiritually, you learn promises from God. Thus saith the Lord, and these things He has spoken, and they cannot be changed. So He has an inheritance for you. It's got your name on it. And I'm talking about inheritance number two. You already have inheritance number one. But now, these inheritances are referring to the more that He wants to do for us. But what you have to do, here's the condition, hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. You know, the first thing that happens when a person starts, should I use the term backsliding? That's a good old term, isn't it? Well, I don't mean it in the way that most do. When you start thinking that you can just, I'll just coast into heaven. I mean, I don't want to overdo this about this doctrine business. I mean, I understand there's fanatics and they go to church two or three, four times a day and they have tapes and all these. That's fine. That's okay. But, you know, that's kind of overkill. And when that attitude starts to pervade a person's mind, then they start to slip. And it means they're not going to endure to the end. And here's the devil. You know, he's got all these little trinkets, all this sugar-coated stuff, and he's always dangling it right in front of your eyes. And he's trying to distract you. He's trying to have you understand, not Satan necessarily himself, but his minions, his officers. And they're always trying to distract you so that you won't endure. Well, why does he care whether you endure or not? First of all, he hates you, and he wants to see you miserable. And God wants to see you fantastically happy, full of joy. And it all depends on you. And if you don't understand that God has this second type of inheritance, but that you have to be qualified to inherit it, then Satan's already won. If you are not privy to this information, and do you know how few believers know this? Do you know how many believers are out there that are trying to glorify God in their flesh, and not meaning in a sinful way, but they don't even know what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. They don't have any idea about the spiritual dynamics of the royal family of God. And so we have it now. You have this information. This is an inheritance, but you have to endure. You can't lose sight of what's really important. Till the end of our lives, at the confidence we had at first. See, whenever you start getting distracted, the first thing to go is your confidence. And once that confidence goes, you're no longer a strong believer. You're a weak believer. And if you continue down that path, you become a casualty. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For this you know for certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. You know who this is written to? Believers. Believers. A believer can do anything that an unbeliever can do in the once he gets into the flesh. In fact, he can even do it better in a lot of cases. Then we have 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, Galatians 5, 17 through 21. And those are very similar to Ephesians 5, 5. I just didn't give you those because we went over those in detail last Sunday. That should no longer scare you. I don't know if it scared you when you read. Some of you may have never seen these scriptures before. And when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 5 with these scriptures, this list of sin, I don't know about you. I remember the first time I saw them. I think a teenager, long about there, and I started reading those. I read my Bible as a teenager. And that's not what qualified me to be a pastor. There's only one thing that qualified me to be a pastor, and that's God's grace and sense of humor. But anyway, I was reading these verses, and when I read them, it scared the daylights out of me. Because I thought, man, I'm guilty of these sins. I didn't think I was an idolater. I didn't know for sure what it was, but I didn't think I was one. But there was plenty of them on there that I was guilty of, and I thought, I'd just better set that aside. I don't want to think about that anymore. But it's great to know that that's not talking about inhabiting, it's talking about inheriting. Paul said believers suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. But what will they lose? That's the question. What are you going to lose? Well, you're there. You're a believer. You're not going to lose salvation. This, before we go into heaven, first of all, we have to be evaluated to see what our status is going to be in heaven. People don't think about that. People think, well, I die and I'm going to go to heaven. And about as far as most people go, they think something about a harp. A harp, sitting on a cloud and playing a harp. And that's about it. I used to think that. I didn't care much about going to heaven. I didn't think, you know, playing a harp, sitting on a cloud, is that all we're going to do? I mean, that sounds like about 5 minutes of that and I'm bored. I'm ready for something else. But the point is that when you die, you don't go straight to heaven with regards to your eternal status. That has to be evaluated. Now, you do go to heaven. You're face to face with Christ. But I'm talking about you're going to have a status in heaven. And what you do now, the decisions that you make, the choices that you make, are determine what your status is going to be, and that will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. And you will stand before Jesus Christ. And there is going to be nothing hidden. Now remember this. Please remember this. We're not talking about sin. You hear these evangelists and they muddy up the water. Everything you've ever done is going to be swatted out. And you're going to be so embarrassed and ashamed. Sin is no issue. But God has given you all of this. He wants the most for you. And what paralyzes Christians today is the same that it always has. And that is their goal, the ultimate that they want, is to just inhabit heaven. They just want to be there. Well, heaven's going to be a wonderful place and I'm going to be there and that's all that matters. That's a cop-out. That is so sad that God wants to give them so much more. God wants us to have dominion and authority and rule and give us privileges and opportunities, the best. Believers today, no, thank you. I'll just coast into heaven. I'll be there. That's fine. And what they don't realize is that they're a loser on earth because we can get a taste of that now. And they'll be losers for all eternity. So they're going to lose a lot. And their right to inhabit heaven. That's a question. Let me read this again. Paul said believers suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. But what will they lose? Their right to inhabit heaven? Absolutely not. You cannot lose that. Remember, that's guaranteed. They will lose their right to inherit heaven. And that's what it's talking about at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, when we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, you're going to be evaluated. There's wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, and precious stones. That's the divine good as opposed to the human good. Sins won't be mentioned. It's all comparing good with good. And some that are hustling around now that don't have doctrine in their soul, they've never been taught these wonderful, magnificent doctrines that God has to motivate us. They're all out in the flesh. Or when I say in the flesh, with the wrong motivation, thinking that they can do something in their own power to please God. And it's all going to go up in smoke. In fact, I don't know how big the Aggie bonfire is, but that's probably just a match compared to what some of these fires are going to be. And there's going to be a lot of believers that look like a wily coyote after the bomb goes off. He looks like a burnt match, you know, his ears all hanging down and all this, you know. And they're going to go into heaven like that, and they're going to be ashamed. Great shame there. And for people to say, oh, well, that's all right, I'll make it in. That's my goal, just make it into heaven. Well, God has a lot more for us than that. And that's why you have to understand, as a believer, you will inhabit heaven, but you can inhabit heaven and still experience great shame at the judgment seat of Christ and really lose out for all eternity. Now, you're not going to go through heaven, you know, kicking a rock down the street, the golden street. Man, you know, I blow it, and be down like that. But the choices that you make today means that you can take advantage of this grace, this extra grace, extra blessings that God has for us. That's the second inheritance that so few believers understand. And I want you to understand it. I want you to understand it so well that you can be motivated by it, that you will be diligent in order to go for the goal and go for the prize. Now, I would go into comparisons. By the way, this isn't the only sheet. I've got another sheet here for you. If I didn't think your tank was nearly full, I'd go ahead and spend another hour and see how many of you stay. I hadn't done that yet. I might do it someday. But this number two starts comparisons. And what we're going to start doing next time is comparing things that will help illustrate what this inheritance is all about. I'll just give you a highlight of this. The first one is the land of Canaan. Remember the Israelites, when they left Egypt, they were going to the land, and they were to inherit it. They were to dominate it. They were to have dominion over it and authority and revel in its prosperity. Did they make it? Did the first generation make it into the land? No. They didn't make it. And that's the way most believers are. They're not going to inherit. They're going to just inhabit. Well, the second generation did, but we'll go into more of that next time, and then you'll get page 3 and 4. And then, I don't know how long that'll take, we're going to finally get back to our regular notes on page 50. Let's close. Father, thank you for this time you've given us to see deeper into your word, the treasure that is there. The fact that we have the inheritance, number one, that we, beyond a shadow of a doubt, will be inhabiting heaven, is more than we could ever dream of or think of. But may you open our souls to the fact that you have much more planned for us, that you want to give us more than we can ever even think or imagine. We pray that you will help us to be motivated to endure, to persevere, to have a personal sense of destiny, to see through the storm so that we can see what lies ahead, and we too can receive from your gracious hand this second inheritance. We pray this in the name that is above all names, even Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.